I was talking to Jordan Maxwell the other day. Yes, I'm going to name drop Jordan Maxwell. And he sent me a picture, a scan of a birth certificate from shortly after the Social Security Act, the birth certificates even started, 1938. And on the birth certificate, he wanted me to see at the very top, was it Human Services that gave this birth certificate? Was it? No. At the very top, it said Department of Commerce, that this birth certificate was part of the Department of Commerce. Try to make sense of that, ladies and gentlemen. Yesterday, we talked about the 14th Amendment some and all that and what that means. So put the two together. A real birth certificate from 1938 at the top, Department of Commerce. Anyway, we got to talking, and he mentioned about codes and about color codes. Well, of course, you know, Joyce always used to talk about the UN. Orange and blue, this light blue and orange, that's all I'm seeing all over the place. Well, she was exactly right, at least according to our next guest. So Jordan said, hey, I know a guy named Jeff. He is on top of this, and he's done some real research to this about color code. Do you want to have him on? Before he even asked me, I said, I want him on. Because what Joyce said just clicked in my head. I totally wanted to have him on. He's became acquainted with Jordan Maxwell's research, and he's taken it to another level on some of these areas. AI, we're going to talk about. He is going to blow your mind on AI and what his research is saying, what he can confirm, and then, you know, we'll get him to speculate a little bit. He doesn't know, but, you know, kind of putting the pieces together. He's brand new to the Power Hour. He hardly has done radio at all. I'm very excited to have him on. Jeffrey Matt, so good to have you, my friend.
Well, I'm so delighted to be invited and considered and to be part of your listenership. So, and this network is sensational, so I'm delighted to be on today.
Well, like I said, Joyce, who founded the Power Hour, you may or may not know, she would, here the last few years, would talk about orange and blue. I'm seeing orange and blue everywhere, or this light, you know, UN. What is this? And I noticed it also, and it fascinated me. You've, through your research, describe it how you want. You've broken the color code, what have you. Explain that.
Well, I'll try to make this as interesting as possible because it's extremely mundane. I'm a teenager. I'm on the interstate highway with family, and I'm looking at the signs on the side of the highway. I'm like, oh, how come they get all the, some of the signs have different colors? One of them's blue and some of them are brown, and nobody could really answer it correctly. Like, where does it really come from? And then I dropped it. Years later, I decided I'm going to work on it, and I broke down the Eisenhower United Interstate Highway System, and I was able to decode the colors for each sign. Then I broke it down. I looked for examples. Well, this code's got to come from somewhere else. And then I looked at nature, and I looked at the corporate, and I looked at commerce. You said Department of Commerce. By the way, the logo for the Department of Commerce today now is often, not all versions of it, but a lot of them now are baby blue or UN blue. And so this is the color code was broken down. I broke down each word, each color down to one word. And on my website, I have about 50 to 100 pictures describing how I was able to conclude each color is down to one word. And blue is for commerce, but the United Nations uses baby blue. And so it's hijacked. It's like a layer above. And this, for your listenership, I would invite everybody to look at the pictures, because that's where the real magic is. You know, if I explain it, it's one thing, but when you see it, it's going to be instantly understood.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to get Catherine is going to either link to your site or copy it or whatever so you can see these pictures. It is pretty dramatic. And not only you see it in, you know, the business world or on the highway or what have you, but then the symbolic nature is that they've used these and picked these colors to convey certain messages because they have a subconscious, a deep, natural subconscious meaning. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely. And they have to have a system that back in the day, I suspect this comes from the U.S. military. Obviously, because of the interstate highway system is from the Eisenhower, and this, you know, that's basically, you can't get more military than that. And so, this is not a denigration, it's just an observation. And with the UN blue, it's not present in the interstate highway system, so I had to break down all 10 colors that I was able to decode. put it on my website and have a slideshow so you can learn all this yourself. And it's going to be a layer on top of everything you've learned in school. So, and it can, and if you look into research, the color code, you'll see codes that you couldn't see before. And this is what I'm presenting on my website with the UN Blue example for the United States. People will see the United States, they'll think of it as USA, but it's actually a corporation, and it was incorporated in 1871 from what I recall. And I think you're very knowledgeable in this area. You might be able to sort of guide me if I'm, for some reason I'm off by a year or so. Today, UN Blue is peppered through all the real key ingredients or the key areas of the government. And there's 9 shades of UN Blue. For those of you out there who are thinking it's just one color, there are 9 shades. And I have a picture describing each shade for each division. But when they came out with the United States Joint Forces Command, which is basically the precursor to cybersecurity it's called the U.S. Cyber Command. They have the United States logo, but the entire U.S. is baby blue. And so, well, if you just look at one picture, you're thinking to yourself, well, that's just cherry picking. You're just one of those researchers that's just cherry picking. But if you look at the National Security Agency, their flag is baby blue, and the sign outside of their office is baby blue. I didn't build the sign. I didn't get the finances for it and plan it and build it and contract it and subcontract it and put it out there. They did it. And the Central Security Service and U.S. Cyber Command. And if you want to have a career in the CIA, I mean, all you have to do is go to their website and go to careers and internships. And they have an application process. And it's even on YouTube. And all the positions are located in the Washington, D.C. area, and that area is specifically all in baby blue. Now, you'd say, well, that's probably it's just a coincidence, but it goes on and on and on. It's just the examples of that.
Let me pause you. Let me back up. Yeah, we got 2 or 3 minutes before the break. Let me back up a little bit. So give us an example like black, or let's just go through some of the colors. What one word did you break down for some of these? Just go through some of the colors.
Black represents control, and that doesn't necessarily mean bad. It can be good or bad. If you have a business that's in good standing, you're in the black. That doesn't mean bad or evil. So it can be good and bad. White means offering, just like if mother's milk is an offering to the baby, it's white. Orange is change. It represents, just like a fire and a campfire, it can keep you warm through a cold night, or if fire's not managed correctly, it can burn your house down. Yellow means activity. If you have radioactive material, what's the standard universal color that goes with it? Yellow, radioactive. Green means service. If you go into the military, you're going to do your basic service. Well, you get your green outfits, and it's not uniform for every military around the world, but it's the standard. Just like if you want to pick up a phone call on your cell phone, it's going to be a green icon. And blue is for commerce, for business, because it represents the ocean and the sky. Purple means sovereignty, and that's a more difficult one. Gray means support. Support meaning if you're holding a handlebar on the side of a staircase, that's metal, or you're a knight protecting the king. Well, you're a knight protecting the king. You have your armor and your chainmail and your sword and your shield. That's all gray. It's all metallic. And red means priority, and brown means culture. And so all these colors are broken down pictorially for you, for those of you who are researchers and want to take your personal self-empowerment to the next level. These are things I'm trying to share.
Okay, let's go with white. I'm curious about white. One, how do you come up with this? Is this you piecing everything together and kind of amalgamating it, and then you break it down to one word? What leads you to believe that? And white, what does that mean, offering? Give me an example what I would see.
Well, this is an excellent question. This is a very... It took me almost 7 years to put this together, and I'm still building it. So white, basically, if you turn on a light in a room, now you can see everything. And, 99% of light bulbs out there offer a white light. Some people say, no, it's not true. It's orangey white, but it's still light. Light is all the colors combined. And so it's an offering. And so what I did is, if you look at the night sky, you'll see that the stars, it's an offering. You can see, if you want to look at the moon, it's a white moon, and it's offering you moonlight. It's offering you a chance, and that's why in farming, you had a harvest moon, and that's where you could get more crops and help your village with that white moon, that white light.
There's the music. We'll be back on the other side. Let's get more into some of these other things and colors, and then specifically orange and this crystal blue. And there's even a song, Crystal Blue Persuasion. Let's talk about that on the other side. Jeffrey Matte, jeffreymatte.com is the website. Stay tuned. Jeffrey Matte, it's spelled like Matte or Mate. I've heard it pronounced, but it's pronounced Matt. JeffreyMatte.com, JeffreyMatte.com, JeffreyMatte.com. And we have Jeffrey himself here talking about colors, the secret color code or the subliminal color code or the uniform color code. He's kind of deciphered this thing, and I was really interested because of the UN. You know, Joyce would always talk about orange and blue, specifically blue, crystal blue, and there's different shades of it. Let me ask you this, the syndicate or whatever, or military, or they're obviously seem connected around the world, are they trying to send a message to themselves with these colors? Are they trying to control us subliminally or send subliminal messages to us with these colors? What do you think as far as those lines?
First of all, I think it's a great question. This is an answer that's going to grow and evolve. I don't see it as a trying to get you kind of system. It's a system that they told. It's like a secret code, like a bunch of kids in the backyard saying, "Hey, you know, we'll say a potato, and potato means something else." Well, what they did is they got psychiatrists together with the captains of industry, and they came up with people who've got the money to back it up, you know, basically the Vatican and the royalty, and they came up with the infrastructure that they could rebuild a global system inside of all the nations in the world, okay? And so this color system is being used primarily through transportation, through commerce, and now it's showing up in media. If you go to the headquarters of CNN in Atlanta, Ted, what's his last name? Ted Turner donated. He donated $1 billion to the UN because he felt that was a good idea. And so the headquarters has at the front gate. It has crystal blue. The whole outside front is crystal blue with the red CNN logo, and then there's a blue square with the red CNN in there. And so that's the headquarters, in my supposition, for the United Nations global media conglomerate is CNN. And so, and it's on my home webpage. You know, there's a whole segment on that you can see it yourself instead of just hearing me talk all day long. You can see it with your own eyes. It's called United Nations Media Conglomerate Crystal Blue Persuasion. And this is from Jordan Maxwell, who created a link for me with a song called Crystal Blue Persuasion that came out in 1968 by the Shondells. And it's discussing world communism. And that's another link that I want to bring to your listenership's attention. Is that
Whoa! Are you saying the song Crystal Blue Persuasion that talks about coming? I never even paid attention. Explain, go into that a little bit.
Yeah, Jordan Maxwell. He's definitely one of my greatest sources of inspiration and learning. And see, he helped me understand that song. I wasn't even born. 1968, and so Crystal Blue Persuasion has lyrics, and I have it on my website on the video page, and this is the only version available. You see the lyrics, changes are coming, look over yonder. And so, you know, back in the day, you know, before I was born, it was, you know, the Russians and the Reds and all this stuff and the communists. But they had to have a new infrastructure to bring it around the world, and blue, crystal blue, was a color that had not been used anywhere. And so it's another way to circumvent the existing knowledge, the existing understanding of the colors out there in the flags and all that stuff. It's a new color. It's crystal blue. and they chose that for the United Nations, and it's there to help spread world communism. And so this song, it's a very loose representation, but there is a show that I did with Jordan where he breaks it all down. And but you should go look up the song yourself. And it's not, for those of you who think, oh, they use that in the TV show Breaking Bad, that's just a coincidence, and it's a very clever move. But that's not what it's about. It's not about Breaking Bad. This is a very serious topic and with serious ramifications. But it's an important color to help build the world government from the inside of each nation around the world. That's why 103 nations are part of the UN. They go into it, and then they build from the inside. And the color code is slow. It's incremental. It's like Fabian socialism. It's one little change at a time, one little industry at a time, one little office at a time. And next thing you know, it starts to be a trend. And next thing you know, now it starts to be everywhere.
We're about to go on a break. R. Buckminster Fuller said one of the most important quotes talking about this. He says, if you want to change the system, you don't fight the system. You just create a competing system and then basically pull all the energy to that. And so what you're telling us is the colors that they're using are sending a message to themselves, and it represents a growing, almost like a growing crystal blue color to go all over the world, that their force, their plan is growing inside, in the middle of, like, our republic, sprouting up and growing and taking over like a parasite, basically.
It's a corporate merger and a corporate dissolvement through colors.
Oh, wow. That was powerful what you just said. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. On the other side, jeffreymatt.com, thepowerhour.com. Getting back to our guest, Jeffrey Matt, jeffreymatt.com, MATTE.com. We're talking about colors, and it's interesting to watch the candidates, because I've seen some, just kind of passing, thinking about the candidates and the colors they choose, but from what you're telling us, it goes much deeper and pretty much universal across the whole board with these candidates.
I think the current outline is the U.S. as a corporation, and the British Commonwealth seems to be very strong, and the European Union as an entity seems to be the current outline that I've been able to locate. And Hillary has been wearing, everybody wears different color clothes, but Hillary Clinton has been wearing a sort of like a crystal blue outfits for decades, specifically in conjunction with political campaigning. Everybody wears different colors every day, but she wears it specifically, and I think she understands that power of that color, because she may be trying to promote, or she may be involved somehow, but I'm not sure. But her bus that did her touring when she was trying to become president.
Oh, she's involved.
Yeah,
she's involved, Jeffrey. Don't worry about that.
So her bus that she toured the U.S. was crystal blue. I'm with her, stronger together. She even had a special plane that she flew on all over America to do her campaigning, and it was covered with crystal blue all over it. So her clothing is that way, her campaigns, her books. There's even an action figure doll that she's wearing crystal blue for children. And so it just keeps going on. And for the Commonwealth, it's called the Conservatives. And so you'll see a lot of in New Zealand and in Europe and everywhere that the UN blue, you'll see it looks like electric blue or baby blue. Now, most of these people in these campaigns, they will not know what I'm talking about. They won't know. You have to spend a lot of time looking at this. And the reason why I'm sharing it is to try to open up to this possibility. It seems the color system exists. It's not just by chance. That's why I put hundreds of pictures per color, and I put five or six categories for UN blue.
What about many Obama? I know Obama did many of the candidates we've seen that use this international Nazism color. Basically, that's what it's become. The Vatican's behind this somewhere. They usually are. What about Trump and his candidacy? What colors did he choose?
I didn't study, and I don't want to go too much into the Trump administration, because I'm just sort of observing and learning from him and his work, and I don't know him personally. I didn't see any baby blue in his campaign. I didn't see any. I mean, I could be wrong, but I looked and I didn't find any. So I find that peculiar. That, and so that's the reason why I'm sort of holding out. I'm wondering what's going to happen with him and his work in helping the American people and helping bring sort of a positive influence to the human family. My hopes are always high. But again, I have to sort of watch and see what he does. But, you know, looking at campaigns and so on and so forth, you know, back in the Nixon era, even in JFK, that's when Air Force One decided to go UN blue. If you look at Air Force One, you'll see it has baby blue on there, and it's not just to camouflage the plane up in the sky. That's one of the safest planes known to man, whether it had Christmas lights wrapped around it or not. But in the Nixon era, when they tried to open the door of communications with the Chinese people and the Chinese government, he sent Henry Kissinger out there to do some preliminary work of whatever that means, you know, diplomatic or, and at the same time, George Bush Sr., he was the UN ambassador. And so it's sort of like a specialized, coordinated effort to help get even George Bush Sr. I didn't make this up. He's the one who said it to the American people. I want a new world order, one where a credible United Nations is going to be there, and not the law of the jungle, but the rule of law, something to that effect. Everybody can go YouTube that and find that themselves. I didn't make this up. He's the one who said it, the President of the United States, who was the UN ambassador. And that sort of opens up the idea of what's going on in China. So anyways, I don't know.
Well, let's get into China. Let's get right into China, because if anything will keep you up at night, ladies and gentlemen, this will, and I think it's very important. I'm not trying to scare you. We've had other guests talk about this. Jeffrey's got a little deeper insight into this. Let's talk about the Chinese social credit score. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, there's a lot of material out there. What I'm going to be presenting is going to be a little bit different. My understanding is that it comes from the Vatican. And I have a segment on my website where I show the Pope, the current Pope, meeting the head of Facebook, the head of Apple, and the head of Google, and they are all shaking hands. And then after that, there's a doctrine called the Social Compendium, and this is a long, dry material. I'm still going through it, but Time and Forum magazine created a gathering where the Pope could address all the tech giants and all the industry giants around the world. And so they can supposedly lift the humanity out of poverty and all this stuff. But ultimately, if the Pope meets the head of Facebook, and I have the patent on my website of the precursor to the social credit system, it's no longer a supposition, it's a patent. You can go look that up, and you can go look up in Google Patents, not just Google, but look up Google Patents, and in quotes, type in social credit system. You'll see the Chinese version of it as well. And so the social credit system, although China is implementing it, supposedly started in 2013, and it really sort of kicked off in 2014, and it's going to be implemented in 2020 for all 1.4 billion people, where your whole behavior of your personal life, outside of breaking the law and outside of being a police officer, is going to be monitored digitally. And what you say to your family, if your parents say something that the government doesn't like, your score goes down. You can't rent apartments. You can't go to certain schools. You can't take flights. This system is not necessarily, in my understanding, Chinese. They purchased the technology. They're implementing it because it's a lot of people to manage, 1.3 billion. And I don't see the Chinese as the enemy, and unfortunately, this may be unpopular, because I looked at videos of people going to China, and most of these people, they just want to make ends meet, and they want to live their lives. So I think the issue is...
Let me interrupt, Jeffrey. Let me interrupt. Who did China purchase the technology from? You said the Vatican was involved. Does the Vatican own the patent? Does Google own the patent? I wasn't clear on that.
Well, on my homepage, one of the patents is from Facebook, okay? And what happens is that the Vatican's not going to deal with technology. They're not going to do that.
Right.
They're going to hold the world's 52 miles of knowledge of the human family. They're going to take care of that and take donations. That's what they're going to work on. But they're going to give advice. And I have segments on my website showing that they're interfacing with all the tech giants around the world. So the tech giants are to build the technology, and then they're going to implement it in different places, because the United Nations is the world government. and they get to choose where they get to put stuff, because China is part of the UN and they're part of the World Trade Commission. So when you have the infrastructure set up, you can just implement technology wherever you want. If you want cell phones in rural China, well, they'll be in rural China. So that's what I'm trying to answer the question the best way I can, is that the Vatican is sort of like the precursor. Then the next layer up is nations, and then the next layer is corporations, the tech giants, and then they just go in and they just maneuver the technology around and put it into play. So, I think it's just a system that's not, doesn't come. It wasn't birthed in China. I think it was birthed in America, in the United States corporate environment, and under the United Nations sovereignty, and with the Vatican's blessing, it was implemented in China. That's my supposition.
There's the music. We're going to come on the other side. We're going to get into this more. You know about, from Netflix or different, even your cable, you can have a video on demand now. Have you ever heard of life on demand? What does that mean? You please don't go anywhere. You're going to want to hear what that means. What does life on demand mean? Stay tuned. JeffreyMatt.com. You're listening to the Power Hour. There about the time Kissinger went over to China. China was basically promised to be the, for the 21st century, was supposed to promise to be the superpower. Look, you institute our policy, you institute our one-child situation, you abort the babies on demand, you take the organs, wherever you want, from whoever you want, whatever. We're going to make you the superpower, put all the jobs there, and you just turn it all over to you. And that's basically what has happened, a little monkey wrench in it here for them now. Maybe that's why China thinks that they're going to go to war with America. Maybe that's what this is about. We're talking about China. You're talking about this social credit score, about this. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not familiar with this, you're in China specifically, their biometric information, their face, their picture, has been uploaded on these computers so that in real time, cameras are all over the place. In real time, they're tracking you walking down the street, wherever, and they can see who you are. You can have like a green, like you're a good, trusted person, a red or whatever, yellow, they're concerned. Red, you can't go certain places, you can't get on the train, you can't fly, can't buy a house or an apartment. I mean, this is going on now, is being beta tested now. There's a video that we put up on our website about this from a guy in Australia, I believe, who did this. There's some risk to himself to really get that out, but it's ominous. And this is happening right now. Social credit score. This is just the beginning. We're talking to Jeffrey Matt, JeffreyMatt.com. Jeffrey, what is the end result? What is the end game for China with this procedure? What inroads have been made with it here in America? And then where is this going? Seems like sky's the limit. Go ahead.
Well, that's a big question, and I'm just basically an individual who does research on his own with no real sources other than the internet. I guess the best way I could answer is that my gut tells me the Chinese are not the enemy, and it would be horrible for there to be a war, because you just have to look at people in China. They're not looking for war, and the American people aren't looking for war. But for things to happen, people would sit down, have an honest conversation. What's the fastest way to get people to change? Complete, absolute, catastrophic change is war. And so this is something that is that needs to be pondered in the mind. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't speak on behalf of any government. I just hope that there's a peaceful, knowledgeable, educated understanding, and that nothing bad happens to anybody in the human family. The social credit system itself, my supposition is that the whole purpose of this is to monetize you, because as automation AI continue to implement itself into the works infrastructure, fewer and fewer people are going to have jobs. And so what's going to be value? You can't go to a woman and say, I have no job, and then and be very attractive, because that's how it's been for thousands of years. Is what you do, what your skill is your value. Well, if you can't get a job, what is your value? Your behavior, who you are. And then your personality, you're going to upload it through your Facebook, your Twitter, all the social credit system, social networks, and you're going to upload a part of your personality. Well, as that develops over time, AI is going to suck up billions and billions of accounts, and then they're going to filter out all the fake accounts, and they're going to give, you're going to have to give your real identity with biometrics, and you can't have 13 email accounts, and you can't be a troll anymore. And so when you have biometrics added to digital accounts, your life will be recorded forever, and there'll be a piece of the puzzle of who you are for AI. Then AI can really run. And once that's set up, people are going to want to take advantage of the technology and to remember their family and their loved ones. And so as people go into the later stage of their life, unfortunately, people, we all die. And so what I hope doesn't happen is that assisted suicide for cases of heartbreaking situations, people are not abused by corporate greed and the stock market and abuse where they create contracts or, well, let us upload you and we'll take care of your funeral expenses. And now we own the copyright to your grandmother's voice and to your children, your 8-year-old who unfortunately passed away from a horrible cancer of some kind. And we have the image and we can use it in advertising in another country and you never know about it because we own the copyright and all. We waived your funeral fees. And so they upload your personality. And now they have a database of billions and billions of people at every age. And even the brain scans that children get to detect autism, the PET and MRIs and all that, they can actually see what's in your brain pictorially and read your memories through these OFMRIs, all these different types of MRI scans. And so that's all going to feed into the AI in the world. And assisted suicide is going to be the final step. It's being established around the world for the last since the 90s. And once it's all set up around the world, then they're going to bring in the strip mall into the most sensitive part of the human experience, is our losing our loved ones. And I hope it doesn't turn into a commercial nightmare. And that's why I'm talking about it, because I want to extend respect to everybody's individual person and their family, and to think about the consequences of commercializing assisted suicide in the incorrect way.
All right. Okay, pause. You have just dropped the biggest frickin' bomb. I mean, I don't know if our audience, I mean, to me, am I the only one hearing this? You just dropped the biggest bomb in the room and just that I think we've heard on this show in a while. You are saying that the social credit score, while it becomes a control grid and everybody is linked into this, and the value as we go forward to the system, so that they're serving their biometrics, their life, who they are, is serving this greater AI existence. No longer is the AI serving them. Really, they're serving the AI system, the control system. And as time goes on, they are going to have less and less value to this commodity world system, this United Nations, NWO. Their value will be less and less because automation, AI, computers, whatever, will do the same job. And that their new value will be in their consciousness, in their memories, and that they will offer the ability to take, grandma's dying or whatever, so, okay, sign here, we'll pay for grandma's funeral, but now we're going to take grandma's consciousness, or her brain, or her likes and dislikes, and they've already tracked her for all her life, and now they're basically going to own her essence. Is that what you just said?
Yes, and but I want to be very specific. This is a very loose idea that I'm presenting, because if companies and greed gets into this industry of assisted suicide, where it's not about just compassion, and I'm sorry if this is offensive to different belief systems, this is not designed to be this, but business doesn't care. And when you take AI and you feed it information from Facebook and other things, that's not going to be enough. Eventually, everybody's going to sequence their DNA. Police departments are going to be using DNA samples to track you. It's not going to be in China. It's everywhere. Right now, Netflix, the corporation Netflix, employees have to rate each other all the time, and there's a big fuss about it. That's the social credit system, but just the Western version. So, life on demand.
Oh, my God.
Going to that forever.
Yes, there's the music. We're going to hold you over. This was going to be the end of the interview. We're going to continue. Life on demand. Let's get into this more. Abortions, Planned Parenthood already has a financial interest to have abortions. You see how that's turned into. Can you imagine talking about killing people and taking their essence? My God. Stay tuned. ThePowerHour.com.